Blog Talk Radio.
Limited edition, but Waz has not been around lately. I'm glad to see him back. I was wondering about him. I was going to send him an email. But anyway, Philadelphia Flyer goaltender, Kenny Layton, who I had the pleasure of seeing the other day, and the Rangers won, has a high ankle sprain, which will pretty much keep him out, according to our sources, the remainder of the season. So that means it's Bobby Boucher, or Brian Boucher, the rest of the way for the Philly Flyers. And that ain't good for them. For sure, as they say in the hood. Boston, they're having problems too. Savard's out, and I hear Bergeron. So Rangers fans, with the Rangers playing the Flyers twice more down the stretch, they're not into this. They won't let you go. But they just don't deserve it. Let's face it, this team stinks. I mean, they are flawed. I mean, it's bad. It's up for grabs. That's all I could say. And I guess I'll bring Jimmy the Gem in now. I think I should. What do you guys think? Should I bring this guy in? This Punch and Judy partner of mine, weak hitting. He's not a major league slugger like myself. Now, I'm only kidding. I love the man. If I had a brother to choose from, although I love my other brother, well, my regular brother. Well, I guess my brother by, what would you say, blood. My blood brother, yes. I love him to death, but we just don't see eye to eye on puck because he doesn't like hockey. Jim! My brother in arms, what are you eating?
I'm not eating anything. You started right in with the insults, huh? You didn't want to warm up in the bullpen, a hello stupid, or what's going on, Fatso?
I said you were my brother.
A weak hitting. I'm not a heavy hitter like yourself. I'm a weak hitter. That hurts. That hurts me deep.
I have to elevate myself because eventually everybody realizes you're the sane one and you're the calm and cool, collected one, and I'm just basically a buffoon. So
I'm
I,
the sane one? Are we up Schitt's Creek?
Well,
let me ask you a question. Let me start right off by asking you a question. You played hockey, right? Played a little hockey growing up. Played a little. You know, you got out in the street there.
There's actually some footage. We got a. You know who 623-330 is on the switchboard?
That's my brother listening in.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. Now go ahead.
Okay. So you're familiar with the way the game is played, right? You played out on the street or in the, maybe a little tennis court.
I played a lot of hockey, my friend.
Okay. So, and not just as a fan, but as a player, you like to think you have a little bit of knowledge of the way the game is played, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to me why our beloved New York Rangers would send five players to one side of the net while one guy stands alone on the other side with a Canadian camped out in the crease so that he could score the go-ahead goal? Could somebody explain this to me? There were five, including Henrik Lundqvist, there were five New York Rangers on one side of the net, and not one of them could get the puck. It's comical. It really is. It's funny to watch them sometimes. It's the Three Stooges, but they're all Curly Joe Derita. I mean,
it's funny
unbelievable.
And it's sad. It's hysterical. It's sad. It's pathetic. It makes you want to just go scream, why do I root for such a ridiculous team? I mean, but I'm stuck with them. I know everybody else is stuck with them. And that's what we're here to talk about. Jim, how you like to throw things my way. Well,
uh-oh.
Today your favorite captain, Captain Crutch there, came out and said that the reason for the Rangers not being able to win consistently is immaturity. They're not mature enough, which I don't understand how that. I don't know what that say. What is that saying?
I saw that, and I thought that was kind of a strange statement. I see what he's trying to do, but who is he saying is immature on this team? I mean, Prospel, Gabrick, the older player. I mean, you're going to by saying when you think of immaturity, you think of young players. Okay, so is he telling us that it's the young players that are completely to blame? Is it all Mark Stahl,
yeah.
Matt Gilroy? Is it all their fault? You're going to I mean, that's how I interpret the word immaturity. You know, I mean, I'm 39 years old going on 40, and I'm as immature as they come. But, when you think of the word, you equivocate that to the young players. So, in my mind, he's kind of saying that it's all Gilroy and Delzato and I guess Girardi, and it's all their fault. And, you know, what about Marion Gaborik, who, you know, what about Prosper? What about, you know, a couple of the older guys on the team? Is Wade Redden, is he immature? Is Michael Rosenwald immature? Stupid maybe, but immature? I don't know.
Right. So I
thought it was a strange statement.
Yeah, I think that statement was, I don't know, we hear a lot about Dubinsky, about him being immature. When I think immature, I think of Brandon Dubinsky, just from what we've heard. I'm not saying it's Brandon, but yeah, I take that as a slant towards the younger players. And listen, I don't even have to say listen, but I mean, seriously, the younger players, such as Delzato and Nisimov, they've come to play. I don't know what he means by that. So anyway, then I'm reading Ranger Rant, Andrew Gross's thing. And, of course, Tortorella went Berserkowitz after practice. And
Berserkowitz.
He went totally, you know, David Berserkowitz. He went crazy. they didn't want to put it up with. He was going to put the audio up, but it was only 28 seconds long, so he just did a translation of it on his website, which I think is hysterical.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it now. This is do you have a minute and 28 seconds to spare? That's great. I love it. I love him, and not just because he comes on his show. He's great. I mean, he really
is. He's fun. If you got it up, you read it
since you brought him up, I don't know if you saw it. He also had a great tweet the other night. It was something to the effect of, there's 25 minutes of my life I'll never get back because that's how long I waited for Sean Avery to say, it's fine, we played well, and we'll get him tomorrow night or something like that. It was really funny. If I can find that tweet, I'll pull it up. Do you want me to read this? You want me to read this transcript?
Yeah, read it.
Okay. All right. Well, here, I'll preface the whole thing. You have a minute and 28 seconds to spare because that's how much time it'll take to read the transcript of John Tortorella's session with the media today, perhaps the most terse, tense, angry he's been all season, though he was restrained in showing that anger too much. Actually, it might take a lot less time to read it than to look for the presser to start and finish. How was practice? It was fine. pause before another question is asked. John Tortorella, staring contest? Question.
You're hoping, that one.
You're hoping for more
at him.
Are you hoping for more consistency? Yes. Chris Drury said that it was immaturity on the Rangers' part in the loss. Do you agree with that? No, I don't. I think that's the wrong word to use by Drew, and we've ironed that out within the locker room today. What word would you use? I have some words, but not for you, with all due respect. Is it frustrating to still be...
No. I like how he does that eraser phrase. I have some words, but not for you, with all due respect.
Yeah.
If you thought that due respect could say anything, like, Jim, I think your sister's a slut, with all due respect. See, it makes it sound better when you say that. I don't know your sister.
Right.
Even have
that's
a sister.
That's like, I don't like to complain, but I'm going to complain.
Exactly.
No offense intended, but your radio show sucks.
Exactly.
Anyway, okay, is it frustrating to still be moving lines? Yes. Are you trying to find a way to get Marion Gaborik going? Gabby's got to get himself going. Do the top guys need to get going? They didn't. That's a crowded bus, though, last night. Not to point fingers at one, two, or three players. That's a crowded bus. And I don't. Hold on. I'm clicking the jump. I don't know if that was it or if there's more. I'm trying to pull it up as we speak.
No, I think that was it.
Is that it? Yes, that's it.
Now, you know, he's not endearing us, I have to say, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the fact that, you know, a lot of the Ranger fans are starting to jump on torts. And, you know, here's a point about Gaborik. You know, Gabby He's throwing the count on Gabby to get hot. You know, Gabby has been okay of late. I mean, he's playing through an injury. This is a guy who hasn't played a whole season, maybe over 50, 60 games in like 4 years. He's played the Olympics. He's played a lot. And, you know, these guys got to score. They get 20 shots on net. If Gavrik's not scoring, at least he's setting up Prosper, or he's making that first line workable. But you got to get more than 20 shots. They shoot from the perimeter. They never get any quality shots. And when they do, they can't hit the side of a barn. How bad is their shooting? Holy cow! They never hit the net! Never, ever, ever. I mean, how frustrating is that as a Ranger fan? They get such few opportunities, and then when they do, they absolutely, it's an exercise in futility. To watch. And it's so bad. It's like wide by 60 feet. It's like watching Rayo Russo Lennon hit slap shots, Plexi Rexy, as we used to call them in the day. I mean, It's tough to watch. It's brutal. But I like I said in the opening, it's brutal, but everybody stinks in the East.
I found that other Andrew Gross tweet. 25 minutes gone from my life waiting to hear Sean Avery say, "Great game, great 2 points, thanks for waiting," as his no comment.
And then I got it. I see some people want to jump ship. And Drexler are saying season's almost over, thank God. What do you want to watch, baseball? Boring. I'd rather watch a faucet drip than watch a baseball game. 3 hours of nonsense, pitching changes and guys stepping out of the box. I don't want the season over. Baseball. Yeah, God, I mean, give me a break. Basketball, March Madness. Oh, what nonsense. Hockey's the only sport. So anyway, I can't stand it. Oh, raises my ire. And all these Ranger fans jumping ship. Let me tell you, what are you, Fairweather fans? You know? What are you, jumping ship? Oh, the Rangers suck. I'm sick of it. You're a bunch of whiners. And I'm not talking to people in this chat room. They showed up tonight. And the people listening at home. They stink. I'm saying the Rangers stink. We all know they stink. Is this earth-shattering news that we're scrambling for the A seed again? Is this something new? I mean, well, this is the same situation we're in every year. And everybody... You know, if you want to hang Tortorella from the gallows, at least give him a couple years with some kind of semblance of forwards. And thank God we got Jody Shelley, Jim. What grit he's had. He's given us such grit. Who are the buffoons that were saying that we should get Jody? Jody Shelley's a great for sixth rounder. He'll give us grit. He's terrible. Everybody's terrible. Brian Boyle, I don't care what Andrew Grove says, terrible. Brandon Prust, terrible. Envelison, terrible. Everybody's terrible. And we can't score. And people want to complain about the refereeing. Another puck goes off our defenseman's stick. Yeah, I know. I've had enough of that. I'll tell you that much. If I got to see one more puck off a Ranger guy's stick and hit the net past poor Henrik Lundqvist, and Lundqvist was asked today, what do you think about your chances? He goes, well, I'm confident in my game, and didn't say much otherwise. kind of insinuating, listen, I know what I can do. How about you bozos get your act together and score some goals? I got to hear all the hard-working tenacity of Brandon Dubinsky, Ryan Kelly. They're not going to get 20 goals. I know Dubinsky missed time. 20 goals. They're third-liners. And you want Tortorella to win with this? They got Vinny Prosper. The only reason he's getting these goals is, I mean, he's making the most of it. I give him that much. It's because Gavrik is setting him up. And holy joking. And give me a break. That was their big move at the trading deadline. Shows you that, and they're saddled with these veteran losers that can't make no cap room. Sure, Tortorella's done a lot of nonsensical things. I blame him a lot. I blame him for opening his yapper in the beginning of the season and saying, we're going to play with sandpaper like grit, and we're going to save his set. He opened his mouth. He said a lot of things. And he never takes blame. So, you know, that's the thing that bothers me. And I think now you're starting to see with this Drury comment, people starting to say things. And I think, I hope it doesn't come off the rails because it could explode soon where people are just going to have enough, you know? So, you know, when your first line center is Ole Jokinen, come on, folks. Come on. I mean, maybe 5 years ago. I mean, and you got to gabber because, you know, his groin is hanging off the bone. I don't know when he's going to get hurt. If he's hurt, is he playing hurt? Come on. This team blows. But the but is there's a lot of teams that stink out there. And I want in. I'm sorry. I'm a selfish bastard. I want in on the playoffs. I don't care if they get knocked out in the first round. I've already been convinced by this chat room and my co-host that if we face the Devils, we will win.
That's right.
And right? I mean, are you with
right.
me or against a gimme? You with me or gimme?
I'm with you. Hey, you know, I like Giant fans out there. You remember 2000? Jim Fossil, the guarantee speech. This team is going to the playoffs. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out. It's a poker game. I'm pushing my chips to the center of the table. This team is going to the playoffs. You got to believe. What other sports mantras you want me to pull out? You got to believe. Rally monkey.
It ain't over till it's over.
It ain't over till it's over. Look, last night.
It ain't over till the bell sings.
But last night was terrible. But you know the East is terrible. I mean, you got five, six teams hovering at 65 points at the end of the middle of March. It's a terrible conference, and they're going to get in spite of themselves. You know, maybe Chairman Wenger, maybe he had it right. Let's have a contest to who the biggest loser is because nobody wants in.
Nobody. They're dropping like flies. I mean, you know, I can tell you, Leighton is gone. Fly's got to bring in his bush. He's terrible. God, that's worse than having Alex Ald as your guy going in the last. But I love one person. I'm confident in my game.
That's right. And just see what else he said? He said, that's been our problem all year long, consistency. I don't know. It's hard to put my finger on it why we're not consistent enough. It's a tough thing. The top teams are not much better. They're just more consistent. A big part of it is mental preparation and how much you want it.
Whoa.
That's an interesting statement, you know? How much you
want
it.
I wonder who he's implying that doesn't want it. I don't know. When I see Lundqvist and Drury starting to speak out, and not clearing it with torts, I think they're up for some rough seas if it goes totally down the toilet.
See, I don't have a problem with him speaking out. I just think his words were kind of strange. I think he should be speaking out.
He should.
He's the captain. He's the captain. I question what he said. That's my only. You know, he should be blasting this team.
Right. He only said immature. I would say weak. You know what? As a captain, I have no faith in this team that we will win three games in a row. That when we win two in a row, I know we're going to lose the next game. Because they never win three games in a row, regulation or otherwise. Well, regulation. They never win three games in a row. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some stat geeks and say, oh, they won 3 in a row and a couple months ago. But it's absolutely nonsensical they can't get a winning streak going. And I think what killed the Ranger fans with this is was a big game. They could have gotten within, was it 1 point, or they could have overtaken? What was it, 1 point?
One point.
And then they saw Boston win, the Ranger fans said, okay. And then they lose a heartbreak at the Garden. Those poor bastards that go to the Madison Square Garden to watch them play dull, listless hockey. It's preposterous. It's absolutely preposterous. Now, Jim, we're going to switch roles. We've switched roles kind of today, and I have an inkling you want to do something that I usually do.
Yeah, hang on. I'm sorry. Somebody's asking me why who's Blue Shirt Banner and who's why I'm on his gym.
I'm Blue Shirt Banner, and we've got lots of calls here. But you do your thing, and I'll get...
Oh, let's take some calls. Take some calls.
All right, well, I got your brother on hold here. I got a 917-690. We'll go to them. 917-690. Oh, well, he may be inebriated. He was predicting he would be drunk as a skunk from the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Let's see if he's a D-truck or he's a sober fool tonight. Zach, you're on the air. 917-690,
Hi, how are you, Anne-Marie? How are you doing tonight, guys?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Anne-Marie? Welcome to the show, and we appreciate the
Thank you.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
I want to go back to January, and maybe if you guys could agree with me on this, and this has been...
I want to go back
since
to October when we were 7-1.
I actually want to because my stomach problems usually end by the end of April. From October to April, I usually have stomach issues. Because of the steam, I'm swearing I'm honest on that. Listen, when Jim Schoenfeld was behind the bench for those two games back in January, the one against Montreal and the one against Tampa, when they came out and they scored 8 goals against Tampa, they looked like they had fire there. This is what I was thinking. I believe that Schoenfeld was running the show behind the bench for those two games and basically telling Tortorella what to do, because those were the two games that stick out this season in my mind that team looked really good. What do you think?
Okay. Well, I'll go first.
Okay.
Well, if you're saying that Jim Schoenfeld is an asset behind that bench, you're absolutely correct. He should be on the bench. I think, especially with the young defenseman, he is a guy, he's smart enough not to want the head coaching job, which for Ranger fans is kind of bad for us, or the GM job, because he really is, I think, a top-notch guy. And you might be onto something, Emery. That might have been something there, that he may even have been, you know, at least calling the defense. I don't think Tortorella is the kind of guy who's going to let anyone run this show, but it was a drastic improvement. And I think I would like to see Jim Schoenfeld just get – he doesn't have to be the GM of Hartford. We don't need the Wolfpack to improve. We need our Rangers to improve. Get him behind the bench. Let him work with a defenseman. Jim?
Agreed. I like Shoney. I think he's good for the team, but I disagree on the fact that I don't think anybody tells Tortorella what to do.
But do you think, because wasn't he, and I don't know if this is with any other NHL teams, maybe you guys know better than I do, wasn't he made the assistant coach behind the scenes in the beginning of the season for the Rangers?
When Tortorella took over, it was a very weird situation because he was Tortorella's boss, and at the same time, he was Tortorella's assistant. Because he's assistant GM, and he was an assistant coach. So, you know, as usual with the Rangers, there's kind of a weird dynamic going on there.
Well, but why would they have an assistant?
He's moved more of it in the background because, as my partner said, you know, there's a bit of a Napoleon complex going on with the coach.
No, really? Actually, my friend came up with the nickname for Tortorella. Fonzie.
Yes. Fonzie. It's the Fonz.
Hey. Exactamundo, Anne-Marie.
Exactamundo. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Anne-Marie. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
The great Anne-Marie, ladies and gentlemen, calling John Tortorella on the phone.
I believe that was her first time call. I don't think anybody tells her
what to do with that. I really appreciate that.
That's his area code. What can I tell you? Sabotage.
We're going to the 845 area code. 827, you're on the air with Jim. And
that's DB Maven.
DB Maven, are you hanging or you want to lay down some words of advice? Words of advice to us Ranger fans.
I have no words of advice for you, Eddie.
All right. Okay. So
thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. Good night, everybody. All right. Well, I guess this is a good time.
You're the greatest.
All right, guys. This is a very serious
show.
Come on,
be serious now for a minute.
For a second.
Why? We have to laugh. You know, we're here to provide laughter among the sadness.
I mean, is it?
Lord, there needs to be more laughter amongst the sadness after a night like last night when they looked
exactly
horrible.
Horrible.
What do you mean? They were all right. They were okay. They showed up.
They were okay. They were okay. What dimension are you watching these games from?
Look, DB, we're going to shuffle the lines a little, and everything will be fine. We're going to shuffle the lines, and everything will be fine.
What upset you most about last night's game, DB?
You want the whole list of the top three.
Give me the top three.
The top three is the first one is the same old thing that I've been screaming about for, oh, my God, you're so sick of hearing me talk about it. They cannot clear the center of the ice. They can't clear the crease. They've got nobody on the defense who can give a hit in the middle of the ice and clear somebody out. Time after time after time, Montreal was in the middle and people skating around. It just drives me insane that they can't clear the center of the ice. The second thing was Gabrick probably should not have played last Wednesday, and he probably shouldn't be playing now. There's something going on. He's still not 100%. He should have been sat. They should sit out. He looked okay probably over the weekend, and, you know, Atlanta, big deal. But he's not 100%. You know, there's something going on there. And the third one is the same.
I was just going to say, do you think there's a possibility that he's gassed? He just hasn't played this amount of hockey in a long time. Could he be,
I really don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. I think it's an injury. I think it's lingering from, the cut from Hank's skate and then whatever he did in the Olympics to, when he was favoring that leg. So it's probably a combination of factors. But he probably shouldn't be on the ice. And the third thing, hemorrhoids. Frosty.
I didn't see that. I was out of check.
Hey, you're killing me, Frosty. I love it.
Hey, hemorrhoids derailed George Brett in his career.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's playing with loaded sticks or something. I don't know. The last of the final three is nobody can get shots on net. Nobody can get shots on net. Oh, my God. It's pathetic. And nobody goes to the front of the net except for Avery. Thank God there's one guy who knows where the front of the net is. And to be honest, now you know, I should say, late since the Olympics, Chris Drury has been parking in front of the net. So he hasn't scored other than one goal, but he's been parking, for especially in the power plays, he's been parking. So, you know, those are just the top three. I could go on for, like, hours. It's just it's pathetic. They look so good against Philadelphia, and they turn around and have an absolute freaking clunker when they needed it badly.
All right, now, I'm going to play New Jersey Devil's advocate. They ran into a hot Montreal team. Montreal trapped them very well. And according to Joe Micheletti, they blocked a lot of the Rangers' shots.
Joe who?
Joe Michelin man, Micheletti. You know, the guy.
My buddy Joe, I said this in one of the threads that was posted. I was so disappointed when I turned on Versus, now that I've got it back on DirecTV, holy crap, and there's Joe Micheletti. I mean, I was so looking forward to one game without having to listen to his blithering stupidity and
you know,
anti-Rangers. Oh, my God, go the freak away.
It's like, you can't get away from him lately. You know, you figure you had a two-week break with the Olympics, and there he was every night. It's like, you know, you're trapped in Joe Micheletti hell right now.
Yeah, you couldn't get away from him. He's terrible.
He's worse than the proverbial bad penny. He just won't go away.
And I love that section 411 or 410. They have that chant. It goes 4-3-2-1. Shut up, Micheletti. Which is great. Because they can't even hear him at the game, and he's getting razzed up there. And I'm sure he probably hears it in the booth. I think the booth is over there. So I was just fortunate. Shut up, Micheletti. I mean, it's funny. And even the fans, though, he's intolerable. Oh, insufferable.
Yeah. The chat room is saying it could be worse. We could have Chico. I got to say, that's true.
That's true.
Or Benedetti.
That's very true. Well, you know, it's like, which devil do you want to deal with? They're all horrible. You know, yeah. I mean, we've had how many times have we talked about it? Is there any way that we could possibly, like, clone JD and bring him back? He was so good. We were spoiled.
Yeah, I mean, you know, JD got goofy sometimes when he, you know, I'm on record saying he got a little bit goofy, but at least he knew about hockey, and he knew when to talk, and when he spoke about other teams, you really, you know, he knew his stuff. Micheletti just wishy-washy, and he's inane, and it just drives me bonkers.
JD, you felt like you were getting an education.
But
you know, JD
was
teaching you about the game.
Right. And I feel that those guys are being really muzzled on what they critique, because since they work for the man and they are corporate shills, they can't speak the truth. And I'm not coming to defense of Joe Micheletti. I think he's horrible. But when it comes to Toucan Sam and the rest of them, I think that, you know, they're muzzled because they can't. Ben Franklin with that ridiculous toupee. I mean, you know, and I said I've gone record with Sam that my problem is, it's called the game. I want to hear, you know, watching a Rangers-Dallas game, I want to hear Neil to Erickson. You know, I don't want to hear, my son played college hockey the first time and he scores. You know, like, I don't want to hear that. Call the game. And speaking of craziness, last week we had our version of craziness. And I'd like to play a little bit I put together about last week's show. Well, not last week's show. It was last Monday's show. But things kind of went a little bit crazy here. It runs a little long, but it gives me an opportunity to go to the bathroom. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the little bit I put together, which was called last Monday on Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Previously on Lost.
Was that Wang wanted every team outside of the top seven in each conference to salvage a chance at postseason play through a complicated 16-team play-in round that would feature a week-long tournament in each conference. Basically, number 8 would play number 15, number 9 against 14, and so on, with a quarterfinal, semifinal, and final round in each conference, just to settle the 8th and final playoff spot. He wanted to add 2 weeks to the playoffs just to determine who the lowest seed was going to be. Did you get all that?
Yeah. This guy is off his nut.
The Flyer fans are kind of bitching about Dubinsky, how he kept wailing on an opponent after he had him beaten and that he broke a cardinal rule of hockey fighting. What's your thought on that?
What is that? What is this, ballet? Listen, these guys have been going at it since they've been in the league. I mean, they don't like each other. You just watch the history. And, you know, Brandon Dubinsky, folks, he's not known for his fisticuffs. This guy is usually the punching bag, the receiver on the end of punches. So he actually is winning a fight. The adrenaline is flowing, and you're gonna cry foul like a bunch of Nancy girls, a bunch of nurses, you Flyer fans. The Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, Broad Street Bullies with all your history. You got freaking Daniel Carcillo beating up Marion Gaborik, and then you're gonna say they were excessive between two skilled players. Get out of here. A bunch of buffoons.
Well, I think if he did, you know, it was it was a great bit of coaching. And I mean, if that guy has the sort of control to manipulate the team like that and produce a win,
yo, peace to JC for bringing back the rap. Peace to Biggie Smalls for putting the rap on the track. Peace to Nas Diaz for setting that mouth trap. Now the guards going through what they do, and that's that. Peace to Pat Boots.
Hello? Hello?
That's right, Blue Shirt Panda Radio, free to your rap style live from my underground lair. Whoever's broadcast this is, it absolutely sucks.
You know, up until you put that rap song back in there, when you piece together the clips like that, it actually sounds like a halfway decent show.
Oh, yeah. When we condense the 2 hours of
this
absolute
is almost listenable.
Nonsense, it becomes listenable. I thought the same thing. Yeah, I look back and I listen to that song to see if I could get it, you know, with the inventive lyrics that it has. It seems to be a Christian rap song, which makes it even worse, I think, that we were hacked by Christian rappers.
A Christian rap? That thing had the N-word in it about 10 times, if I'm not mistaken.
Apparently, that's a go project in the Christian rap community. Say that word. But it was like, you know, I'm down with G-O-D. I'm down with
Eddie's
G-O-D.
Eddie's Mouth. Eddie's Mouth. Rangers and Christian rap expert.
He got me. Yeah, they good.
Can we play a Springsteen song or a little Van Halen or something?
I mean, that should be your new lead-in, Eddie, for the show.
Look at these guys in the chat room.
Frosty just said the N-word, no goals.
MJB New York Ranger, Jesus said, cut a bitch. That's horrible. Guys are crazy. Jesus said, "Satan sucks." Your guys are out of control.
Lord, I apologize for this. Be with the pygmies in the beginning.
We gotta laugh, folks. I'll tell you, we're ready to cry. You're watching these ridiculous ice capades every night. These guys. Holy cow.
I'm only disappointed that they won the two games prior.
Why? Because you wanted them out. You wanted it over.
I wanted it over. I wanted them to drop. I've said this before. I am not the type of person that says go out and tank deliberately. I can't do that. It's not in my nature.
Yeah,
anything I do, I want to do it 100%, 110%. I want them to play hard. I want them to play as good as they can, but I want them to lose. I really do.
You're in quite a quandary, then.
Talk about the ultimate conundrum. I want them to score 6 goals and lose 7-6 in the last minute.
In a hard-working like, game.
It's like D.B. Maven's got his own Dharma initiative.
Yeah, he does. That's for you people.
I'm dying for them to get into that draft lottery and get a shot at one of the top 5 picks.
Yeah. All right, so, Jim, you wanted to do the roll call. I had to take a break from the last year. I wasn't prepared for this.
All right, you want to do the roll call. All right, let's see who we got here tonight. We got Ace of Spades joining us. I'm not sure if he's a first-timer or not, but anyway, welcome. We got Andro from South Florida, where I saw the weather was nice. Today, my old stomping grounds in South Florida. We got Costa the Crazy Greek, the owner of the diner out in Nutley. DB Maven checking in on the phone, and he's not on his VoIP tonight, so we don't have to speak to him and then wait 28 seconds for the answer like he's in space rotating around the moon. We got Christian rapper Drex 27 in the house tonight. We've got, making a special appearance in the chat room tonight. He's not out at the strip clubs. Frosty 99 joining. And as always, we have a couple of guests. Why don't you log in and stop being a voyeur? Get in the chat room and have something to say. We've got 3-time spelling bee champion J Red, who is here. We've got former we've got Miss September 1997 Jackie Alamba in the chat room. Always nice to see her. We've got MJBNYR. I've got nothing catchy to say about him, but we're glad he's here. We got Stan Fischler, the man, is hanging out in the chat room because he knows we poke fun at him all the time. We got T. Bassler. Nice to see you, as always. We got the anti-woot. I have no idea what that means, but it's always good to see him. And our old friend, Wazili, who got bailed out this afternoon after getting too drunk at the St. Paddy's Day Parade and came straight into the chat room. Welcome, everybody, to Blue Shirt Banner Radio, another crazy edition. We're having some fun tonight, I'll tell you. You listen to the show sometimes and hear us laughing. You'd think we were in first place.
Oh, yeah. Imagine when things get good. I mean, really. But, it's funny because this is something I find that's so endearing about being a Ranger fan is that people are freaking funny. Like, I guarantee you have an eye on the chat room and you got, 20 putters in there going, DP, he'll come back. And, nobody's laughing. Nobody's having a good time. And I think Ranger fans, because we suffered so much, and now you're finding a whole new generation that was born in 94 to starting to feel the losing. And I didn't realize if the Rangers don't make the playoffs, this would be the first time post-lockout that they didn't make it. And I was like, wow.
Another story. It. Tradition dies.
I know, but I was like, then I wanted to make it again because I don't want I don't know.
They're gonna make
gonna
it.
Do? Listen to Christian rap.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Watch the Mets?
Oh God! Don't even start. I mean, I'm a Met fan. I don't want to watch baseball. I'm sick of baseball. Boring. I don't want to talk about baseball because another thing I like about baseball, every time since they put the wild card in, it meant that ruined. I hate baseball. I'm a hate baseball purist. but I think that Wang proposal though. What do you, DB? How do you weigh in on that about them putting an eighth seed in each conference, a tournament in place? Did you hear about this?
Yes.
If at first
it.
You don't succeed, you better give up.
What is this? Is this like we can call it the NHL Biggest Losers Contest?
That's what I said the other night. It's determined
Wait,
to who the biggest
the
loser is.
It's the lose your way into the playoffs. Get the hell out of here.
Come on.
I mean, MJB, you got it. The Charles Wang wild card tourney.
I mean, what is wrong with this guy? I mean, I used to think, wow, you know, head of computer associates, he made a great business there. And even though the crack house project, which is flawed, let's face it, but it was a good idea. I mean, he's under the delusion that Nassau County can be as big as New York City. Okay. I mean, you know, that's a little wacky, but he had good intentions. And he comes in with this. This is just nuts. I mean, he must be, they must be spiking that orange chicken he's eating or something, because I don't understand what's wrong. I mean, what's going on with this guy? They're going to close down the season for 2 weeks to figure out who the AC is? Don't we play 82 games for that? I mean, seriously. I mean, it makes no sense. And he proposes it.
He's a brilliant guy, but sometimes he's like Fred the Elephant Boy. I mean, he's just...
that whole lighthouse project was probably would have been a good thing if he hadn't tried to turn it into the circus that it became. You know, if he had started it and said, we'll do it in phases and we'll work with, you know, the town and the county and what have you. But he tried to jam through this extravaganza, you know, that was worthy of a Trump or something. And people looked at him and said, what you said, Eddie, what are you on, crack? Give me a break.
Well, I didn't necessarily say that, but being in that area,
I did.
Being in that area, he might have been. The number to call is 1-646-478-4692. Charles Wang next week. This one goes to James. I'm going to play another little skit, as they say in the old Christian rap business.
You gentlemen seen your midterm grades yet?
Oh, they're not posted yet, sir.
I've seen them. Mr. Kroger, 2 C's, 2 D's, and an F. That's a 1.2 grade average. Congratulations, Kroger. You're at the top of the Delta Pledge class. Mr. Dorfman.
Hello.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Now he tells me.
Mr. Hoover, president of Delta House, 1.6, 4 C's and an F. A fine example you set. Daniel Simpson Day has no grade point average. All courses incomplete. Mr. Blutowski, 0.0. Now I want you to tell Mrs. Stratton and Mr. Schoenstein exactly what I'm about to tell you now.
What's that, sir?
You're out. Finished at Faber, expelled. I want you off this campus at 9 o'clock Monday morning.
It never gets... That's only given the Ranger grades. I mean, seriously... Wade Redden.
Mr. Redden, 0.0.
Zero. You're out. Expelled.
We should only get so lucky.
Yeah, oh, if only it was that easy.
So, I mean, you know.
It is that easy. All they have to do is do it.
What? I guess that's the question. I know it's too late and, you know. But why didn't they? Why don't they just put him up in the press box and say enough is enough? Is this because of something out of respect for the guy, because he's a professional, they don't want to embarrass him?
I mean, best first passer in the game.
Oh, come on, guys. Now, let's, you know, enough of the joking, guys.
He's a guy we targeted immediately. He's our number one guy.
You do a pretty good data imitation. I didn't know that.
Oh, my number one guy.
I love it.
What the hell was that? what that was. No Christian rap yet on the board. So, so okay, let's get back on track here, and let's talk about the, you know, let's talk about what do you foresee in the Rangers' future? I can't even get this line out. I'm cracking up. But listen, you know, in the opening I said, I mean, is it time to bail as a Ranger fan? I'm not going to bail. I'm stuck to the team. I'm going to watch the games. I'm kind of in the same mode that D.B. Maven is. I kind of want to see them. I wouldn't mind if they lost, if the games were entertaining. Because they play boring games. Oh, if I got to see more 1-0, 0-0 at the end of 2, get some goals up there. Play exciting. I like... Play safe as death. Play it. It worked. I mean, you know, I don't know. What's the answer? And I guess, what do you think? I mean, who are we playing in the next few games? Maybe it's time to do the start win-loss thing like they do. What do we got up here?
You want to do like Mike and the Mad Dog?
Yeah, let's do like...
Jeff will actually talk about hockey?
Yeah, like we're talking... They're on the bubble, Mike. let's get the schedule up here, all right?
This show's just like Mike and the Mad Dog, except we talk about hockey and there's no skinny ones.
Your next...
except for D.B. Maven, at this point. He's quite svelte. We like him. But... because he bought the two fat guys lunch one time. All right, now anyway... here we go now. Where
maxed out his credit card.
We got yeah,
St. Louis.
The high roller. You got the schedule?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
All right,
Thursday,
give it to us,
St. Louis.
Maven.
Thursday,
Rangers,
St. Louis at MSG. Yes.
Win. St. Louis is struggling.
I would say it's a win. Sunday at Boston.
Oh, that's a biggie, fans.
They're going to win.
Two in a row. You can't go win 3 in a row, I can tell you that much.
Well, I didn't say they were going to win tomorrow night.
Oh, you don't think they're going to win tomorrow night?
I don't know.
They play great.
I'm with Eddie. I think they win both of those.
See, here's my problem. Here's my problem. If I say they're going to win tomorrow night and then I say they're going to beat Boston on Sunday, we all know they can't win more than 2 in a row. That means I have to say they're going to lose to the Islanders next Wednesday, and I just can't say that. So
you can't say that, even if it may be true. That's correct.
All right, they're going to win them all. They're going to win out.
Myself.
We're running the table.
Out, he says.
We're running the table.
Roll the table.
Running the table. Ain't nothing over till it's over.
So
I think
they
lose
to
the Islanders. Who's after that?
They're at New Jersey next Thursday.
That's a win.
That's a loss.
That's a win.
Okay, and then Saturday at Toronto.
That's a win.
That's a loss. Toronto's been playing better with those young guys. I just can't see the Rangers now.
Tuesday the 30th, they are at the Islanders.
That's a win.
Yeah, right, I'll
so,
do that.
So, okay. We need to tally this up. We need to tally up all the wins. So Jim says, what did you say for St. Louis, Jim?
That's a win. You've got 6 wins so far for me.
You are running the table. The only
we're running the table. We're running the table.
There it is. Okay, running the table. Following that, they go from the Islanders down to Tampa Bay.
I see Stamkos going nuts in that game. He'll get 55 by the time in that game. No.
And then they'll rest them in the second period.
Yeah, right. Following that, they head up or down the coast. I forget which way to the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, that'll
be down the coast. Good Lord.
Down the coast.
Oh, you get no geographical crazy over there, Jim.
What can I say? I'm geographically challenged.
We're all
challenged. Yeah, really. Eddie, so what do you say for Florida?
I'd have to win. The Panthers are done. They're packing it in. It's over.
Yeah, I think they're packed. From there, they go up to sunny Buffalo.
That's a loss.
And Jim says we're running the table, so
it's a win.
It's a win. Obviously, it's a win. From there, you've got the they return home to face Toronto.
They never win home loss.
And then you've got back to back Friday Sunday with. Philly coming to the Garden on Friday, and us going to finish the regular season in Philadelphia on Sunday the 11th.
To win.
On NBC.
Ooh, NBC us.
Boom,
I'll,
boom, boom.
I'll say that's a split. Well, we get sound effects and everything.
Yeah, really, we're getting sophisticated here.
WNBC.
All right. So what does this all mean? Why did I even start this? But
why did you start this? I don't know.
Well, this is 10 minutes of my life. I'll never get back.
Sure.
Yeah. Really. I mean, sure. Who started this? But all right. So do we have a running track of what we have here? What do you mean? I did.
You were the one who wanted to go win-loss. I have the Rangers getting 24 points in their remaining 12 games. Actually, we're going to make that 24 points. But the Florida game in Florida, that'll go to a shootout because it always does. They always go to a shootout
okay.
in Florida.
24 points with a one shootout
points.
Win.
That's right.
Okay.
Anybody want to get it?
You're not serious. You don't actually think they're going to win.
Look, if we're going to sit here and make a bunch of bullcrap predictions, I might as well make a. I might as well do something bold, right?
My predictions are not bullcrap. They're based on years and years of prognostication. I've been prognosticating since I was 12 years old. And it feels good.
My mother caught me prognosticating once.
All right. So,
anyway.
Did it hurt?
Here or there.
All right, enough with the lowbrow comedy. Let's get back to trying to find
the highbrow comedy.
Yeah, the highbrow comedy. No, but you know, listen. You know, I've been watching the boards, and you know, I know DB Maven peruses the boards as well, just for comedy's sake, because a lot of these people are really they should be institutionalized for their opinions. I saw one guy threaded today that. Artem Anisimov is not the player for the Rangers because he's not physical and he's soft. And I was like, he's ninth in rookie goal scoring, he's 12th in overall points for rookies, and this guy wants him gone. I was like, you're a lunatic, sir. Next. You know, I mean,
dismissed.
I mean, exactly. And then I saw. When I was looking up the stats, you know, it's kind of – we all come to the conclusion that Michael Delzato is a good hitter. He's on minus 22, guys. Do you think maybe the immaturity that Drury is thinking about maybe post Gilroy and Delzato? Because let's face it, Delzato, you know, he caught out of position a lot, you know? I mean – So are most of the Rangers defensemen. I think the Rangers defensemen positionally are terrible, and they don't tie up sticks. They sometimes when they're in the right place, they don't tie up the player. It's like they're marking him, but they don't actually do anything with him. Would you guys agree with that?
You've heard me. I've been screaming about it. They don't check. If they mark. They as soon as they turn their head to look at somebody passing the other way, the puck comes on the guy they're marking and they get scored on. You know, they don't check, they don't hit, they don't clear, and they're certainly not marking sticks, you know, and tying up sticks and such. So yeah, it's the biggest problem with the defense, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. All right, so let's give out that number again. Area code 646-478-4692. Blue Shirt Panda Radio.
Just for the record.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I've got them going 4-8 the rest of the way.
I think they're going to go 500. 6-6.
Non-believer.
Oh, come on.
Non-believer.
Where's Joe Fortunato coming? I see Joe Fortunato is now coming to the chat room. Joe is one of the premier writers on BlueShirtBanner.com. But, you know, there's something I didn't speak to, and I wanted to speak. Now I got you, Jim, and Joe now. Jim and Joe on now. Was this whole thing that went down a couple weeks ago, and we talked about it, about the Rangers not giving you guys press releases since the Fire Say the rally. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, I kind of told Jim, you better watch it because previous to this, because these guys are vindictive. They're out of touch. This is the way they strike back like little kids. The Ranger organization right now, and I hate to say that, is classless. I'm actually working on an article that I'm going to call in some favors, internet favors. And I know I'm going to post it on BlueShirtBanner.com, but I want to get it out there to other than Rangers sites to show these guys, you know, just what they have done with the fans and their PR department. I'm going to name names. You know, I'm going to be the quote-unquote deep throat of this Ranger Gate scandal with just how badly they've treated the bloggers and it's irreprehensible to me what they did to a guy. Guys are just trying to get Ranger fans in touch with the Rangers and have a spokesman. You know, they had Dave Maloney on, and Dave Maloney was, you know, I don't think he thought he was on a program where he was going to be like as a stepping stone. I think they just put him on as like this is a fan thing, like a fan event or something, whatever. And I just think what they did to Jim and BlueShirtBanner.com was just horrible. And I can't wait till these idiots get fired and they clean house and they get some young guys under 70 in there that understand that the internet is a viable way to reach out to Ranger fans and to get them enthused and get them to buy. If the bottom line is dollars, to get them enthused is to make the players accessible. And it's just like Andrew Gross said. You've got a GM who is totally, you cannot talk to him. I mean, the only thing I could think of, I was trying to come up with some kind of analogy, and of course I went into like, you know, a total wacky area because you know, I was thinking about science fiction and I was thinking about the Star Trek episode. When they go back to like, I don't know, some planet that's going through some Nazi revolution, and there's a guy that you only see him on TV, and he speaks, and he preaches all this hate and all this nonsense, but nobody gets to him. He's just trapped in his box, and then they finally find him after he was trapped behind this glass casing that he was doped up and was tricked into saying. That's how I feel Glenn Sather is. I feel like he's in this thing where he can't be touched. And it can't be spoken to because the truth might actually spew out of his mouth that he doesn't know what he's doing. They said that they're afraid of what Glenn Sather is going to say. He is the GM of an Original Six franchise in the National Hockey League. And the higher-ups have decided that he cannot handle an interview because of what he might say. That's a disgrace. The second part of the disgrace is that whether you like John Tortorella as a coach, by default, he is the mouthpiece of this organization. And to act like he acts is, again, it shortchanges the Ranger fan. Who do you go to? I'm not saying, you know, we have to have a personal relationship with your coach, your GM. Well, wouldn't it be nice to operate like a normal NHL franchise, to turn on that TV, and while you're being bored by Micheletti and Sam Rosen, and they say, listen, let's go to John Monotone down there. He's going to speak with Glenn Sather about what the Rangers might do before the trading deadline. Wouldn't that be nice for him to just say, well, we're looking at some forwards. You know, we need some offensive scoring punch. Well, look what's out there. There's none of that. I mean, do we really realize how dysfunctional this is? Are we so used to it as fans that we all know Fire Sather, all based on his merit, on just his trades and his UFA signings, which, you know, let's face it, the trades have been pretty good. The signings suck. But I mean, how dysfunctional is to deal with your public that way? And, you know, you throw on top of it, which we've talked ad nauseum about, the Blue Shirts United, when you got a Ranger fan club that's been in existence for 50 years and that thing, and these guys don't get it. And when I come out and I name names in that PR department, which I'm going to call the PU department because it stinks, that department should be torn down, revamped. They think this shit doesn't stink. And it stinks to high heaven, ladies and gentlemen. They have treated people who are fans, who have come out and spend their time developing blogs, the person that was involved with that Chad Johnson, who was that guy, Jim? The fact that they wouldn't let Chad Johnson speak to that fella, they're just so out of touch, and I can't wait till it comes toppling down, because I'm going to write a letter to those PR guys. Guess what? Next week, it's coming out on this.com. I'm going to name you. I'm going to say, you need to be fired. You are terrible. You are terrible. And I don't care what the repercussions are for me. Now, listen, I'm not going to mention BlueShirtBrandon.com. I'll mention my own website. I ain't going to get nobody else in trouble. But I'll tell you one thing. They're going to be held accountable. And, listen, I may just be, talking to myself out there and that. Nobody might not even care. But the fact that these morons will be on record named. There you'll see their names on the internet floating around there saying that they're dopes, they're out of touch, they're totally they're hubris and they're arrogance. They're arrogant. And that's the thing that bothers me. I mean, you talk about a team that sucks. You should be kowtowing to the Ranger fan. You should be doing anything to keep them interested in this team. Because you're seeing it now. I know everybody says, oh, one of these guys going to stop going to the games. You're starting to see it. People are selling their tickets at record numbers of season ticket holders. And it's besides the product. You got an owner who hates the media. He doesn't want to deal with the media. You've got I don't think Flats hates the media. I think they just don't trust him talking. I mean, that's what Andrew Gross said. And if he's that out of touch, they don't know what he's going to say. How out of touch is he when he has to make a decision? And then you've got a coach who's telling, did you ever get a fight to Larry Brooks? Now, listen, I'm not a Brooks fan, but, I mean, the guy's a hothead. I mean, it's like the voice of Sauron, the mouth of Sauron for any Lord of the Rings, basically. I mean, so what I want to say is that regardless, if they were treating us with some respect, and I know I have a self-interest in this, but what they do to guys that are just trying to reach out to more Ranger fans and get them more interested in the Rangers, and they treat them like crap, it actually fuels me to do more stuff, which I think is a good thing. I mean, I want to put a hair up their ass. I do. I really do. It strives me to do I'm going to do a whole video of the names of this PR department, do a whole skit about them. I'm ready. I'll shoot the video. You know, I mean, the fact that they took this, they haven't sent Jim any updates they give, you know, the practice updates, the after-game updates. I mean, they, you know, generic, but still. Oh, that's their way of getting back at you. Well, I got news for you. I mean, you know, there were 200 people at that five-state rally. You could say it was a bomb, it was whatever. People showed up, and I think they're going to show up more. And I'm done off my soapbox now, but I'm telling you, the way they treated Jim and treated Joe from the get-go, it's just, it's disgusting. It makes me not want to be a Ranger fan.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
What has ever given you any idea that they would treat Jim, Joe, a website, a fan site, any different than they treat the rest of their fans?
Well, let's face it.
So,
I mean, there's
two questions there, right? There's really two questions there. The first question really is, do you really think they treat their fans well?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think they do. But, you know, you always got to look at it from the business point of view. Now, listen, the fans, ultimately, that's their revenue. But apparently they're used to the fans coming to the games no matter what. But to keep the Ranger fan interested in a media outlet that they have no voice in New York or New Jersey or anywhere else, they can't get coverage on FAN. ESPN doesn't cover them. They're an afterthought. So they should be craving any source where they can get Rangers being talked about. Because ultimately, that translates into some revenue. I don't care whether it's, you know. Go ahead.
Why? Why do they need media exposure? This is the I'm trying to lead you down a path here. I know you know it. Why do they need media exposure?
Well,
they have media exposure. It's called MSG. They own that.
Right, but that,
or, you know,
but that is, right. But
what do they need more media exposure for?
Because there's so much. The fans have absolutely no voice in the MSG exposure that they're given. A half-hour pregame show is not going to cover all the topics that need to be addressed. And, yes, I know why MSG is all they need. It's because they don't want any dissenting views. I mean, that's, you know, it's all controlled by the Kremlin. I mean, I don't know what path you're leading me down, but you better tell me because I don't like secrets. That's one thing I don't like secrets.
It's not a secret. You've heard me say this before. I've said it on the air. I've written it. They don't need to. They don't need to care about the fan. Why? Because the seats are sold. Whether there's a butt in the seat or not really doesn't matter. The seat is sold. It's sold to a corporate entity, or it's sold to somebody who's had a seat for forever, okay? But the seat's sold. And if the person who owns the ticket, who's paid the dollars, doesn't want to go, even in a year like this where the team is mediocre at best, they give the ticket to somebody who would love to go to Madison Square Garden and see the Rangers. So the seat ends up being filled, and that person ends up buying something. So they get their money no matter what.
But see, I think greed, yes, they get the money. But I would think to be even more greedier, get the people that are kind of on the fence about hockey or the Rangers and – I feel like, you know, yeah, I know they don't need us, but there's going to come a time when they're going to need us. And they don't see that.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong.
I'm not wrong. I've seen it happen in politics.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You're not wrong. I disagree with you. I never foresee the day that they will need the fan. That would change if and when the Dolans sell either MSG or the teams. Okay? If somebody else bought the teams, somebody like the guy who ended up buying the Washington franchise, right? Somebody who wants to create a brand like the Dallas Cowboys out of the New York Rangers, which you could very easily do in this market, okay? That's when you would see a change. But under the current auspices, the current ownership, they don't give a third of a rat's tail's underside about doing that.
Oh, yeah. I've already prefaced by saying when these guys die, and I'm not talking about physically dying, when they die off as whatever they are, the whole NHL has embraced the internet and blogs and a lot of teams have made players available. And I'm not crying because we can't get a current player on, because nobody can get a current player on. I mean, nobody. I mean, nobody's accessible. And you would think Gary Buttman would say, listen, but I guess he's just like, hey, I'm not messing with the owners. They're making money. I got bigger problems. I mean, you're supposed to be expanding this sport, and you have the three key components to your franchise are unavailable or hostile when you approach them about doing an interview. I mean, it's disgusting. And, yeah, I'm not surprised by it, but it fueled me, and I think there will become a day, and you're right, it's not going to be under this regime, that's for sure. You've got a guy who's anti-media and Dolan, it's never going to happen. And once he's out, I just don't understand. It would behoove them to actually do it, because I think it would be more revenue. But I guess they're making so much money now they don't care. Which for me, from a cablevision guy like Dolan, is astounding, because he'll take any money he could get. Now, after that, done of that ranting and raving, DB Maven telling me I'm wrong. 352-200. I think this is James.
James.
I'm not sure. James, you're on the line with the mouth, Jim Spiederberg, and sitting in with us, the voice of reason, DB Maven.
How you guys doing?
Hi, James.
Hey, Jim. I you know what's funny? I just got home, I just called in, and I don't know what's going on. I heard something happening, but I was just trying to listen in and see what was going on.
Rangers have traded Gabbert.
For
Jack Johnson.
For Chris Higgins.
Yeah, for Chris Higgins.
Hey, Eddie, I wanted to mention this before I forgot. Speaking of trades, have you seen how red hot your boy Peter Mueller is since the trade?
Well, I didn't want to mention that, but he's got
11 points in 7 games since the trade.
Well, you know, I said that nothing grows in Phoenix except cactus. Change the scenery. I predicted it. I'm a genius. Ding, ding, ding. Give me a prize.
Make him GM.
Phineas J. Whoopi, you're a genius.
yeah. Well, they said that he really was. He was probably on a operation shutdown over there in Phoenix, basically not giving it his all. He kind of, you know, Phoenix isn't conducive for, you know, hockey. I don't know. I mean, obviously they're playing better hockey than we are. What are they, fourth in the Western Conference with Brizgalo playing a proverbial butt off?
Shutouts.
Yeah, I mean, they're a surprise. I mean, you know. Peter Mueller, yay me. I said he was going to be good. Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, it's just, again, I don't know. I'm a little confused now. And I'm kind of down now. I thought we were running the table, and then I have him going 500, and what did you have him, DB, going at?
4-8.
4-8.
Non-believer.
Jim, what are you thinking?
Running the table.
I mean, James, rather. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Well, the Rangers got 12 games left.
12 games left. How many did they win?
12 games? Man. I think they'll be lucky to win five. I'll say somewhere in the 4-8 range, too.
Frosty's saying 3-9. Zach is he inebriated, Zach? I'm talking to him in the chat room. I wonder if he's drunk or not. But, yeah,
Jay,
I don't know.
2-10.
The one thing I'm glad about, though, is that I stuck with my guns from the other night. You know, I had talked a couple of weeks, well, last week, and last night we were talking, or two nights ago. I said, no, I'm not letting them, you know, I'm not letting them persuade me with these two wins or whatever. I said, I'm not going to jump into it and believe it. I'll still watch. And sure enough, last night was another pathetic offensive showing. Nothing again. I mean, couldn't do anything. It was just, it was pitiful, really. I mean, you're sitting there looking at them, and I couldn't, you know, you're watching them, and you still don't understand what in the hell they're doing.
Yeah, I mean,
no passion to me. I mean, nobody was doing anything. I mean, I'm watching them, and I was actually sitting there getting bored, looking at them, saying, "What in the hell are these guys doing?" There was like nothing. It was horrible. These are guys fighting. These are guys fighting for their lives, and they're just like taking it easy for some reason.
They come out with no sense of urgency at home.
Did you go get some?
Wait a minute. I just got this in from the Ranger Blue Shirt Banner Radio Lola Falana here. Looks like Zach blew Jackie Lamba off for last night's game. Well,
uh-oh.
Zach, you're getting a 10-minute major and a gross misconduct for that. And Paulie
D. Andrew Gross misconduct.
You're getting an Andrew Gross misconduct. And Paulie D is in the chat room. Paulie D must be excited. His headshot rule looks like it's getting expedited. What do you think about that, guys? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear
anything. I didn't read the I saw the headline today. Paulie D is he's the driving force behind it, him and Kotze.
Yeah.
I was reading that. I think it's, you know, they're trying to get it in even before the playoffs start, which for the NHL, that's like going at triple warp speed.
Yeah. A lot of Star Trek references. They never get anything done.
Look how fast they got the Avery rule put into place. A day, right?
Yeah.
That was transporter speed.
Yeah.
That was,
it's true.
As Sulu would say, that was transwarp drive.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah.
Oh my. All right. Now
you're gonna make me do my Bones imitation.
Do it.
Come on, we gotta get back to having fun. We got too serious there for a little while.
I brought the show down. Go ahead. No Bones? All right.
Now we'll save Bones till later. Watch out. Rangers, Zach's calling in. He's got to defend himself.
All right.
Oh,
time for Zach. Zach,
oh,
you're on the air.
Guys, can you hear me?
Oh, you drunk jerk.
I have an excuse for blowing her off, okay? I completely forgot I had to pick up my mother from school.
Oh, please. Oh, Jesus. Why don't you just say the dog ate your homework and you got a flat tire?
Don't believe me. Don't believe me. That's my excuse. And Jackie still loves me, all right?
Thank you.
Now, Zach,
they're
what
fired.
Happened to your... How, fired.
You're
who,
fired.
Hey,
you are
I'm
so fired.
I didn't go to the game last night anyways.
Now, have you been drinking today?
Have I? Of course.
All right. Yeah. And what has been your beverage choice?
I feel like that should be like one of those Geico commercials. Zach, if you've been drinking today, has Zach been drinking today? Is Ed Too Tall Jones really too tall?
I like his laugh when he's drunk. He's got a good laugh when he's drunk.
Yeah.
Does Elmer Fudd have a speech impediment?
Wabbit.
This collection is starting to whoop me the wrong way.
Now, Zach, did you watch the game last night?
Unfortunately, I watched most of it. I was listening to the first period on the radio, but I watched the rest of the game. I must say, did the Rangers even show up to the game or not? I'm still confused as to if they showed up.
I think they were there physically, but mentally and emotionally, they were a no-show. And do they realize how bad they look at home? Did they realize that the people pay money to see that nonsense?
If you're making $8 million a year, I don't think you'll notice it one bit.
Well, I mean, you know, 20 shots on net. And I got to hear about how great the Canadians are blocking shots and they're a defensive masterpiece. And it's always the other team with these announcers. The other team has always risen to the occasion. And the Rangers have just – it's never the Rangers' fault.
I think Joe Nicoletti is going to go with the Canadians now. He was too excited for the Canadians.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure he had a romance explosion in his pants in that game.
He was happy to see Scott Gomez again.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for years. I don't think he likes the Rangers. I've been saying that for years. Ever since he took over for JD, I don't think he likes the Rangers.
Yeah.
Pencil-neck geek that he is.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
well,
where
exactly.
Are you?
JD is going to be back tomorrow, so he can call the game tomorrow.
Now, Zach, I wanted to ask you. I mean, where you been drinking today? Where? What's been the place?
Where? I've been at school
outside.
So, yeah, in between classes. Went to Applebee's for a little bit. It's by my school, and just before I got home, went to the pub by my house.
So where not have you been drinking?
Where not have I been?
In the shower.
Yeah, not in the shower.
Well, St. Patrick's Day is a day to... Now, somebody told me today that in St. Patrick's Day in Ireland, that they kind of think it's kind of nonsensical. We Yanks celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Any people Irish? I know James ain't Irish, and Jim, I'm pretty sure you're not Irish. And well, DB, do you know anything about this?
I'm a quarter Irish on my mother's side.
With a last name like Brady, how do you think I am? I'm sitting I'm sitting here with a wee mite of Jamesons now.
And for a guy with the last name of Brady, you do a shitty Irish accent.
Yeah, you can bite me too, buddy.
I'll whack you in the head with a shillelagh.
Don't have any brogue. There's your brogue.
Yeah, I don't have a brogue. I have to fake it. So, yeah, but you're right. They don't celebrate this thing that we call St. Patrick's Day. They go to church. And Frosty's saying the same thing in the chat room. It's a religious feast day over there. Over here, it was an excuse for everybody to get green and green by drinking. So, you know, that's what it's about. You know, and most Irish get green one way or the other. They either paint themselves green, they drink so much they're green, or they wear green clothes.
Only a few days of public consumption of alcohol, right, where you can't get in too much trouble. So this is the day. One of them, at least.
Everybody needs an excuse to drink.
Frosty posted in the chat room.
Some of us don't.
Oh, yeah, really.
Regular, right?
The Rangers are a great excuse to drink. I mean, seriously.
I'm just going to say it.
Bill Frosty just
thought they were
going to
wear green yesterday.
What happened?
I thought they were going to wear green jerseys yesterday. I mean, the Knicks did it. Why not the Rangers?
The Knicks have more Irish guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Knicks are totally Irish.
You know what my father used to call? It is going to come out totally not politically correct, but I can give a rat.
Oh, here it goes.
My father used to call. All right. My father used to say, and God bless him, and I miss him. And he was dear. Actually, he's in Florida right now. He'll be back in a couple of months. Not like he said. But he used to call black people from Ireland smoked Irishmen.
Oh, boy. Next week on the show,
next week, Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Spike Lee.
And Al Sharpton.
He's Irish, right? Sharpton, that's a... Anyway,
you see the straight hair he has.
A happy hour.
Look, Frosty saying I still do call him smoked Irishman. But anyway, what, you don't think the Rangers have enough Irishmen? How many? What, we got Callahan? Everybody loves Callahan.
That's it.
Who else? We don't have anybody else?
Shanahan.
That's the only Irish guy on the team?
We had Shanahan.
Oh, yeah. People, you know, I was talking to Vinny Vasolino before the game, and, you know, I mean, before the show tonight, and he was telling me about, you know, things really haven't been exciting in Rangerland since Yager and Shanahan were here. We had a little bit of an identity back then. And right now, I mean, our identity is just nothing. The void is a giant void. And I think that sometimes Ranger fans always pine for, let's get Yags back and want to go back. And that's another thing that Ranger fans got to let the past go. I mean, how many days, I mean, you're on that Twitter, the Twatter all the time, DB. And how many times you see people all about Pruka? There's one girl on Twitter's got Pruka in her name. Oh, I wish he was back on the Rangers. Or, you know, always these guys that, you know, it's like, give it up. It's over. You know, you see these threads. Or Zhereyev. Would Zhereyev be, you know, what would he? I mean, let's pose that question. Let's throw that out there. I mean, we got 27 minutes, 25 minutes to kill. Would Nicky Zhereyev have helped this team this year?
No.
No way.
No.
He would have been a problem again. It would have been the same thing. All these guys that don't want to shoot, or they're just skating around and gliding like ice dancing or something. They don't want to get their nose dirty. I mean, really, the guy didn't do anything. I wouldn't want him again.
I mean, you really think that? I mean, let's face it. We got those guys now.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need another one of them.
But at least he could score, though, James. I mean, he'd get 20 goals.
Man, I want some guys that are like 6'3", 6'4", gonna stand in front of the net, or even if they're 5'11", who doesn't mind taking a pounding just to stand in front of that net and hope for a deflection or a rebound or something. Somebody that isn't afraid is not gonna play the perimeter all game and not back check and just wait and cherry pick by the blue line. That's the kind of guys that they are, and I don't want them. I want somebody who's gonna go in there and literally make his nose dirty. Break his fucking nose. Oh, sorry about that, guys. Get into the damn crease if you have to. You know?
Hey, ho!
Watching one of them old games at Granado. Granado had his head in the crease nonstop. The guy was busting his ass to get in there, and he wouldn't stop it.
Hey!
You know, that's the kind of guy I want.
Is there a video here?
You guys better get
right.
on.
No, I know what you're saying, James. I mean, but...
Frosty just left. He's offended.
I'm going to go against the grain here. Zhereyev was a bum, but at least a bum scored.
But he had the first half last season. It's just all of a sudden he just shut off. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just Tom Rennie's defensive mind zone, or Zhereyev just – I don't know what happened, but Zhereyev is a good player. He had a good first half last season and then just stopped. Stop playing. Stop caring.
Folks, Zhereyev isn't even tearing it up in the KHL. Okay,
no, he's got 39 points.
He was overrated. He's, you know, he's got a ton of skill, and like so many other guys, he got a ton of skill and doesn't have his head screwed on straight. He wasn't worth the effort. And you know what? The bottom line with him was, as soon as he went for the bucks that he went for, that killed him. That killed him in Tortorella's eyes, and it killed him in Sather's eyes.
Oh, yeah, because
he was the bottom line. You know, supposedly his agent came back.
Yeah,
and
he
said,
did.
We'll sign for the original qualifying offer, and they said, "Hey,
no.
Pound salt, buddy. Take a hike."
Yeah, they did.
Siberian salt mines.
They did. They were like, "Take a hike."
Zilly just posted, "Bring back Marcel Hossa."
Oh,
yeah,
God.
There we go.
Hossa is an interesting guy. He's a great player, but he has bad luck in the NHL. In the KHL, he is the best player. He's leading in scoring. They said that in the Olympics. He had a good Olympic run with Slovakia, and they say that he's doing outstanding. But whenever he comes to the NHL, he's terrible.
So, wow. So does that tell you something about Marcel Hossa, or does it tell you something about the KHL?
Well, the Rangers should move to the KHL.
Yeah, I think we'd be good there.
Stan the Man mentioned.
I'm not sure, James. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Maybe we should stick him in a college league or something.
Stan the Man said, bring back Gene Carr. And every time I hear Gene Carr's name, I think of Emil Francis telling us on that show, going, he couldn't find his way out of a phone booth. He was always lost. So, yeah, you got – all right. Now let's talk about another guy. You want to go down memory lane? I mean, a couple years removed now, it's Pruka. You see a lot of that. I mentioned it earlier. Do you think Peter Pruka would be developing and improving under a John Tortorella team? Could we have used him in retrospect?
No, I think there's another guy that's – I mean, I hate to keep repeating myself. I want somebody who's going to be physical and get dirty. I mean, I want somebody that's going to do something.
Yeah, but how many guys are out there, though, James?
I mean,
Actually, Ed, Brashear. Yeah, there you go, Brashear. There's a guy.
Could be the physical guy.
I mean, I'll take any of those, any of the young guys we have down in Hartford or whatever. One of these guys that wants to play and is gonna prove themselves one day. One of those guys. One of those guys that played in those tournaments. Even Stefan or whoever. I'd take any of those guys. That at any of these past guys that we're bringing up.
Right. I think you're talking like the Dale Weises and the other dudes down there, maybe Anders Ericsson, one of our.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, I mean, the guys we're talking about, they had their chance and they blew it. I mean, they didn't play. I mean, they didn't play the way that they may have been capable of playing, and you know, they don't deserve another shot in my eyes. I mean, they had their chance. You know, you're gonna, you know, not do the job, and you're gonna, you know, play the perimeter and not do what you're supposed to do. See ya. We don't need them.
I got to tell you, I think that. On the subject of Peter Pruka, if he had a clean slate with Tortorella, or if Tortorella had been the coach when he was here, it might have been a different story, because he wasn't afraid to get, you know, to lay a hit and get his hands dirty and stick his nose in to see. He was a speedster, but. For whatever reason, you know, he just ended up being the odd man out, the 13th forward with Rennie. And eventually there was no point in keeping him. You might as well trade him and get something for him. So I think that Pruka might have been a different story. But you know what? It's 2020 hindsight. You can't change it. And he's too old at this point. So who knows?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
say there's liable
do you think
to,
Pruka's like Callahan,
say
though?
There's liable to go out and... Say there's liable to go out and trade, you know, like Dubinsky and Callahan for Pruka next year.
But isn't Pruka like Callahan in his style
well,
of playing?
That's so unfair to rank to say those things about Sather like that. How about Nigel Dawes? There's another guy everybody likes to talk about. Him and his 10 goals.
Yeah. They're actually – I mean, Nigel. I'm actually calling by his first name. Nigel Dawes. Yeah, he's never a guy. He's a very streaky guy, and he's kind of fallen out of favor, but he's been kind of pegged as one of those secondary scoring guys that's kind of gone in the tank for Calgary and causing them to struggle a little bit. I think they're actually sitting outside the playoffs right now. They've had a disappointing season. He was one of the guys that who's playing well. Wazili just called him Nigel Flawed. So I tell you, you got a lot of comedians in it. I tell you, it's great. The show runs itself with his chat room.
How about this for
we could bring him back up?
Who?
Who?
Hugh Jessamine. You think we could bring him up? Give him a chance.
No, you know what? You're drunk. Man, you're crazy. How about this? How about this for a stat? Matty Malhotra has more goals than Nigel Dawes this season.
Wow.
Who that solid third line checking forward, right? That's what what's his name called him, right?
Muckler, right? Muckler didn't even know who he's talking about.
I called him Muckler, but yeah.
He was another guy.
Burry, how's his knees holding up?
And Muckler's had a lot of success in other places. I mean, you know, and of course, you know, it was the Rangers who was, you know, forget about it. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. I'm going to have you, Jessamine, on this show. And you guys better be nice to him, because I heard he's a really nice guy.
You mean we can't call him your specimen no more?
Now, listen, you know, can you help? He didn't get, he was drafted by the Rangers. It wasn't his fault it didn't pan out. Don't hold it against you, Jessman. Hold it against those Looney Tunes of draft. I mean, again, and every time I see Lee Stepniak score, I say the same thing. What is this, the whistling? Is this
that
show so bad?
Tunes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, people are whistling.
Lori Korpikoski, 8 points in 59 games.
Oh, now, Paulie D has set me off now, and I think he's doing it intentionally.
We're going to have
some
fun.
He's now complaining about Grachev and Hartford. Now, Paulie D, you're just trying to stir the pot here, so to speak.
He's trying
you
to
cannot, in your right mind, think that Evgeny Grachev is finished or is a bust or is anything at this juncture of his career. You're off your nut. You should try to come up with an 8-seed playoff plan like the Chairman Wang, if you believe that he's the Grachev's a bust. I mean, come on. Maybe you've taken some headshots, Paul. You don't really mean that, my friend. I know you're much smarter than that. How could you Grachev's a bust? What's Grachev's stats? Give it to me.
Blair bet 7 goals, 7 assists this season.
Grachev's a Blaine Stoughton. Don't say anything about Blaine Stoughton. He's good friends with Kotze. Boy, he's a spy.
You say Korpikoski has 8 points this season. How many points does Leeson have this season? Because we traded Korpikoski for Leeson.
Well, Leeson's got at least 5-6 goals, right?
6 goals, 8 assists.
All right, so I guess we got lucky with that trade.
Oh, yeah. We made out like a band.
It was a heist.
It was a big heist. I mean, give it a break. I mean, and I had a Russ Cohen, who, you know, I go at it with him, and he loves Nigel Dawes. I think he would marry him if it was legal in the state. And he also loves Lori Korpikoski. And, like, he would send me, like, messages. Korpikoski scored an overtime game winner or, like, a shootout winner. I'm like, who cares? I mean, look, he hated Ed Release. Oh, wait, granted, Ed Release, you know, for whatever reason, stinks. But still, I'm not going to sweat these ridiculous trades of a...
Evgeny Grachev, 12 goals, 14 assists in 67 games.
Who?
That Grachev fella. 26 points in 67 games.
Matt, they're baiting us.
Yeah, I think this is a Mandel bait, and I'm not going to take it.
No, it's a Paulie D bait.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
It's a Paulie D bait. You know, let me take it for you, okay? Let me go off.
Sorry, go ahead.
Grachev, you know, to say he's a bust because of the cluster that's gone on with all the injuries and the lousy situation in Hartford is absolutely absurd, okay? They haven't had a real center on that team in months, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're saying he's a bust. You know, the kid's 19, 20 years old. It's his first shot in the quote-unquote pros coming up from the OHL. Did you expect him to be like, what, Ovechkin or something? Give me a break. I mean, that's ridiculous. Thank you. I'll stop now.
You solved it perfectly. And I see the anti-Woots bringing up another guy that Ranger fans are saying, you know, Antropov. Now, in defense of Slacks here and Mr. Magoo, Nicky came back and asked for a lot of money. He did.
Magoo.
He asked much. What do you get, like 4.5? 4 million? He got somewhere near $5 million a year. They couldn't afford him.
I think he got 4. I can look it up, but he wanted like 5. Over 4 years or something, he won like a $20 million package, and Sather just laughed, like, you know, you got to be kidding.
Right.
Sather said that Antropov's agent, his contract demands were ridiculous, And it always made me wonder if Glenn Sather thinks somebody's contract demands are ridiculous. What must those numbers be like? I mean, here's a guy that paid $6.5 million for a bag of bricks. I mean, what must have been ridiculous?
The best first passer in the game. Had some use.
He's the guy we targeted immediately. He's our number one guy.
You could actually build something with a bag of bricks.
You are my number one guy.
How many years does Glenn have left?
Too many. Don't ask. You don't want to know.
Good night, Brock.
Nick Antropov, 4 years, $16.2 million for an average cap hit and salary of 4.062.
It's a good deal. It's a good deal. How come we didn't sign him?
That's a lot of fishnagels, as JD used to say.
Yeah, and you know, we also had like $8 worth of cap room.
$8 that we wasted on Brashear.
Well, you got to let go of that Brashear thing. I mean, you know, it's over.
Never. I'll never let go.
Come on. He was a quality signing. He had a great stature in the Ranger community. He was a guy that we can think that can be flexible to move him up on the third line some nights.
Uh-oh.
Eddie, you just Jackie and, as well, right?
Jackie and Frosty are leaving the chat room at the exact same time.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Curious. Awesome. Good night, Frosty. Good night, Jackie.
Practice safe sex, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Anyway.
Why
if it
do
isn't safe,
birds
practice.
Suddenly
so.
Appear.
Paulie, why don't you call in? You missed the Grotchev. You don't want to go out toe to toe with us here?
Let's yell at Paul.
I'll get off.
Oh, I bet
look,
you
I
will.
Look, what you doing when you're on this show? I don't want to hear about it. You know.
Well, Zach, we love you and we appreciate you calling in and drink a lot of coffee.
Yes. Yeah, I'll talk to you guys next week, all right?
All right, take care, brother.
All right.
You have a good night.
We're on Monday night next week, okay?
All right, sounds good. I won't be
all right,
on,
thanks.
Then.
Okay.
All right,
thanks. All right,
bye-bye.
Blue Shirt Banner Radio next Tuesday night.
Blue Shirt Banner next Tuesday night. Make sure you join us, Zach. All right, now, James. Now, I know James called in the middle of this laugh fest. He's probably thinking, why are these guys laughing? We sucked the place up. We sucked the joint up last night.
This is one of the most fun shows we've ever had.
Well, you know, I'm trying to keep us on task here, but I'm telling you, I'm having such a good time, I don't even care. We got another phone caller calling in. 727 area code.
Oh, okay.
That's Paulie.
Yeah.
Paul E.D. ready to call in the Grotchev Bust Hotline.
Play your Steve music.
Okay, let's see if we can find it. What's that under there? Swirling plates or something?
I think it's plate spinning or plate song or something.
No, put the rap music on for him.
Oh, God, no, please. You're absolutely right, Cassie. You're absolutely right, Cassie.
Kenny Grotchev, minus 12. Let's see. The only one worse is Chris Newberry. With minus 13. Big 14 penalty minutes. Woo! 115 shots on goal. He's stellar.
Wait a minute.
You are the first person to say that New York Ranger fans coddle their prospects and think they're the greatest things in the world. I hate to tell you, whether he's 19 years old or not, the way the scout said Grotchev was going to be, he is not. And that's my only point. I'm not saying he's a bust. What I am saying is that he is not what everybody thought he was going to be this year, because obviously if he was going to make the roster, he'd be tearing it up in Hartford, whether they suck or not. That's That's my point, Woodcratcher.
It's a bunch of garbage.
That's right.
That's evil Paulie D.
Well,
Corey Locke's got 28 goals, 49 assists, 77 points, and he's a minus one.
Corey Locke's a bum.
He's
terrible.
He's a Kendrick.
We brought up P.A. Parenteau, and he's got 18 goals. Why do you think we're not bringing up Grotchev?
Well, I could tell you. I could give you 100 reasons why we're not bringing him up. I think number one is we don't bring anybody up. Number two is that they want this guy to play a whole season and get it under his, and they really haven't had the horses. They've been banged up all year. Now, I'm not making excuses. I have heard things that Grotchev has had a little bit of trouble down there. Does that mean that he was overhyped? I can't tell that. I don't watch enough Evgeny Grotchev to make the decision. But I will tell you this. We saw what Evgeny Grotchev. Now, come on, Paulie. You saw him in the preseason. You saw him in camp. Did he impress you then?
Yeah, but that's preseason in camp. I mean,
it's a bunch of garbage.
There's a lot of players that impressed us. We were all hyped up in the beginning of the year. We were very impressed. With
I thought Evgeny Grotchev played well enough to make the squad, and I think he's a guy that you put him around some good players, you're going to get, I think you're going to get better results. They don't have anything down there that resulted in a good player, as far as I'm concerned. At least one that's, Parenteau is a tweener, but I just think he's the kind of guy who's better with consistency, which they haven't had. I mean, I don't know. I can't make it. On a 20-year-old kid, I cannot make that judgment call. And I want to know what your real angle is on this Grotchev thing. What's your real angle? You just trying to stir stuff up. I want to know.
I wanted to get you going a little bit, going, man. I know it fires you up, but you know what, Mouth? You never do know. You never know. I hope Grotchev becomes a great hockey player. He's struggling in Hartford, which is actually my angle on this. Is I'm very surprised because I really thought that he was going to be NHL material, and with those numbers. And the way he's struggling, it scares me because, he was a pretty high pick for us. We were kind of junked up on him. Everybody was. And, that kind of scares me because you would think he would be, playing with better numbers at least. He's a minus 12, so he doesn't play well on the defensive side of the puck. He doesn't have he's got a ton of shots on net, too, Malcolm.
That's what I like. That's a positive indicator that he's getting shots. Maybe he's just not, he's having hard luck. I don't know. I mean, the things bad I've heard about him is that he's got to go every shift. He hasn't been going every shift. And, again, that's a transition that I think guys from juniors to professional need to make. And the longer schedule and the travel and, I think that all adds up, he's a Russian guy, and I don't think he was too happy the Rangers did not let him play in the World Juniors for Russia, because I know he wanted to, but the Rangers were kind of afraid to get him around some of the Russian comrades there, because, these guys, they miss home and stuff, and, they can be talked back to going back to Russia. So we have 1 minute left in this entertaining the wild and woolly broadcast of Bunker Panther Radio, and... I have to say, this has been one of the most entertaining broadcasts that I've ever been involved with. Paulie G pulling in and mixing it up and getting us going, and the comedy has just flown here. Just flown about then.
Last night was pathetic. Pathetic.
I mean, how bad did that make you feel, Paulie?
It made me sick. It just makes me sick. I don't understand this team. If this team can't get going on their own, and Tortorella has no clue what he's doing, I'm convinced of that at this point. I mean, Sean Avery shows up in Philly, plays probably the best game. I think he's a big catalyst of the team. What did he get last night? 7-8 minutes? I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing on the bench? And the power play was, again, awful. These guys are all around the perimeter. Nobody's in front of the net.
And then they're giving up shorthanded goals, too, on top of it.
I thought Vinny Prospel had probably his worst game as a New York Ranger last night. His passing was terrible. His decision-making in the offensive zone was awful. I was just really disappointed. And we just decide we don't have to go to the front of the net because, you know, we could score goals otherwise. I don't know. I just don't
understand.
All right,
we're about to go into podcast mode. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And now we're in podcast mode, as they say. The show is on, but we're not streaming.
Oh, it's like the Rangers. Show is on, but nothing's happening, right? They're not skating. They're not hitting. They're not doing anything.
Good, James, I tell you. Well, I'd like to thank all of you for joining me in this wonderful segment in the wildly popular Blue Shirt Banner Radio broadcast, the, what's today, Wednesday St. Patrick's Day edition. Guys, I love you. Grinning Barrett, I'm still holding hope that somehow we get invited to the party. I know maybe I'm just a glutton for punishment. I think that's what it is.
I think so, man. Did last night? Did last night totally? Did it convince you at all? That I mean, anything give you? You know, say, you know what? Forget it. This thing is over. That's what it did to me a couple of games ago. Even before they won these last two, I wouldn't be sucking back into those two wins. I couldn't do it, and I happened to be right because then last night, when I'm looking at it, I didn't feel as bad since I already put it in my mind that it ain't gonna happen.
Last night, that happened for me, James, for the first time all year.
Now, that happened to me two games before, it was like last week when we were talking on here, and then they won the two games after that. That was when I had said, that's it, it's over, nothing's going to change my mind. They won the two games, and I couldn't be sucked back into it. And I told the guys last night, I said, I'd love to see him win, but I don't think so. I'm not going to go for it this time. So, like you said, last night did it for you.
Well, last night was, it's a pressure situation. We need every single point. It's a home game against a divisional rival.
Exactly.
I mean, actually, you win last night, and you can say to yourselves, all right, we can actually get into the playoffs tonight. If we get a little bit of help, we can get in. They needed to win last night,
Absolutely. Bottom
line, and they didn't do the things. They didn't show up. They took shifts off, like Mount says all the time. It was very disheartening, and if the team can't show up for a game that it knows it needs to show up for, that last night was definitely the crack for me. Yeah,
you know, with Boston having multiple injuries, Savard's out now basically for how long? Bergeron took one, and probably he could have a broken ankle. I don't know if there was reports today on that, but he went out. And then with the goaltending situation in Philly, I don't agree that they needed help. I think that they had their destiny in their own hands last night, and all they had to do is grab the carrot and devour it. And instead, they were like groundhogs who saw their shadow and dove back in the burrow.
Exactly. They didn't. Yeah, they showed no passion at all. Like as Ed said, no urgency, no nothing. And it was sickening looking at it. I mean, I'm sitting there, and I can't believe that they're – and this is the first game I get to watch on Versus, too. They finally put it back on DirecTV, and usually we don't get it with the HD. So I'm sitting there, finally I get to see it on HD, and they look like total garbage. And I said, I don't even know why the hell I got excited to watch this for. It was just horrible. I couldn't accept that performance last night at all. Just, everything was so totally bad, and I felt bad for Hank again. And he played another good game, and we can't score any goals.
We don't shoot the puck. You can't score when you don't shoot the
puck. Or when they shoot the puck, you notice they keep winding up to take a slap shot, and they don't have to. Just put the damn thing on net. They're winding up. Guys are getting in front of them. They're blocking everything because these guys are taking way too long to shoot the damn thing or even pass it, whatever. They're not quick enough. They think they have all this time, and they're just, they're like, all right, I'm going to make this quick move, and then they start winding up, and everybody's in front of them.
Yeah. And then
you know what killed me last night was the way they kept getting stood up at the blue line.
Oh, yeah.
They would get across the red line, make a pass to the blue line, and it'd get intercepted, and the play would go right back the other way. I mean,
and even on the power play, that was happening.
They didn't do anything to try and combat that. It was just like –
And they kept skating up the middle of the ice all night long. I didn't get that. You know, they I mean, it was
if
ugly.
If you went back and looked at the 6-0 trouncing that Montreal laid on them whenever that was weeks ago, what you just mentioned was similar, except that my recollection is they were trying to skate it in off the sides, off the boards. Last night they adapted. It was like they had watched the tape and they adapted, and they were trying to skate more up the middle. And what happened? Montreal adapted in game, shut them down. They couldn't cross the damn blue line.
Yeah, I think – I just want to say I don't think the Rangers would have won 5 games this season if they played the opponent and the opponent said, listen, we're going to pressure the puck carry on every – the Rangers cannot – I mean, unless you give them space – that's when they can threaten. They can actually mount a threat. But if you pressure that puck carrier in any zone, they'll cough it up. They'll make a bad decision. They can't get the puck deep. I mean, to credit, like, you know, DB said, to Montreal's credit, they were able to make an in-game adjustment, whereas, the Rangers are incapable of making any adjustment as far as I'm
concerned.
That's
what really good coaching staffs are able to do, though. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
well, it's not,
that's
it's
what a
not
coach
just
does.
That. I mean, yeah, absolutely true. It's a coaching staff, but you also have to look at the personnel that Montreal have, and they have the ability to do that kind of pressure, and there aren't that many teams that can. And that's why they've been successful once they started to get healthy in the last few games that they've played the Rangers. They have the personnel to play that pressure style in the neutral zone, which is really what Tortorella wants the Rangers to do, right?
You know
that's
what I don't understand?
Jam.
You know what I just don't understand, though? And this is my problem with the coaching staff. Now,
do we have enough time to go into this?
Well, no. I just...
No.
Last night was a perfect example. You're talking about a very fast team, okay? So last night's a perfect example when you take Ember Leeson and you put him in the lineup because the kid's got wheels. We don't need...
Really, you think?
We don't need the physical end. We don't need Jody Shelley in that game. We don't need the physical types of guys. There was never going to be a fight that broke out that we couldn't handle last night. That, again, is another coaching adjustment that needs to be made. You need the speedy, fast players in this game so we can move the puck quicker, get through the neutral zone quicker, things like that. That kid could actually carry the puck, and he skates pretty damn fast. He's probably the fastest skater on the team. And why wouldn't you make that adjustment?
Leeson will play against Philadelphia.
Because that makes sense.
All right, yeah, I see what you're saying, Paulie. I mean, there's a lot of head scratching going on about the coaching staff, as far as that goes and the personnel. But I think it's probably the fact that, you know, the third line, you know, besides the Pruss penalty the other in that game, he's kind of likes that third line, and they were playing okay. But I know what you're saying. You like to see when you line up to make some sense, but it really hasn't. I mean, nothing really John Tortorella has done this year has made much sense to me.
And the power play, man. I mean, what were we, 0-for-5 and had 2 shots? How ridiculous is that? I mean, these guys, they couldn't even get in the zone. They couldn't set up. They couldn't do anything. And you get 2 stinking shots on like 4 or 5 power plays. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's because we like to go to the front of the net and take lots of shots.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It really is just absolutely ridiculous. I'm telling you right now, the coaching staff really baffles my mind because, again, what are we into now? Game 69, game 70? Hello? Do you not realize we need to go to the front of the net somehow?
Yeah, these guys are like...
It goes back to... Mandoff called this. Like in game 12 or game 15, the Ranger forwards are obsessed with the corners. They'll see like 3 guys go in there.
Yeah.
They just want to go in that corner.
That is my
favorite.
But they don't come out with the puck either. You get 3 of them, man.
Exactly.
They still don't come out.
That's my favorite. There'll be five guys behind the net and one guy on the opposing team, and somehow the puck slips through and gets moved up ice.
Yeah, man. None of these guys are like Don Maloney was, man. I mean, Don Maloney could go in the corner and dig it out from three guys. These guys, we have three of them there. We can't get it.
You know what else pissed me off last night?
Man,
last night, they had after they pulled Henrik out, or they were going to call the penalty on Montreal. They had the delayed penalty, and the Rangers were playing keep away with the puck. And I'm screaming at the TV, let Montreal get the puck.
Yeah,
get the puck. You're going to get a man. What are you waiting for?
Yep.
I was just like, oh man.
You know.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, folks, thanks so much
Dinner's
for joining
ready.
Us. Yep.
And we'll see you all Tuesday night.
Paulie D, thanks for joining
us.
The Paulie D program, 8:30 to 9:30 on Mondays. Great program. And you got DB Maven and his new satellite project, the DB Maven Project, airing on Sundays, 9 to 11. You'll catch that on your local satellite dish. And James.
What?
Who just calls in and annoys you.
No. James is running his own underground gambling operation down there in Florida.
Good night, everybody. And it's moving to New York, buddy.
Take care, guys, and always a pleasure.
Good night, guys.
Good night,
everybody.
Take it easy.